3 tonight, and as we dive in here to chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, we saw that this chapter really is all about the Apostle Paul rebuking the Galatians. And remember, Paul had led these people to Christ and had started these churches, and he loved them. I mean, he loved them like his own children. And so he has to rebuke them in this chapter. But he's doing it out of a love for them. Because you see, false teachers had crept into these churches and were trying to take the Galatians and were basically trying to bring them under the Old Testament law instead of the freedom and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nice. Don't you love that? All right. Verse 1, he starts out, "O foolish Galatians." I mean, he gets right to the point, doesn't he? And the problem here is he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" And so the Galatians had been bewitched by false teachers who were trying to bring them under the works of the law. They were basically saying that, look, we've got to add something to the finished and completed work of Christ. No, you don't. And that's what Paul's saying. Verse 2, he says, "This only would I learn of you." And then he asks the question, "Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" How did they receive the Spirit? They knew the answer to that. We receive the Holy Spirit through what? Through faith in Christ alone. Through faith alone, God had saved these people and God had changed their life. And it was all through faith alone in Christ. They didn't know anything about the law. And then verse 3, it says, "Are ye so foolish?" You see that? Is everybody looking at it? Verse 3, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit?" In other words, when you got saved. "Are you now made perfect or mature by the flesh?" And you know what that tells us right there, church? We learned from that, didn't we? That it's a work of the Spirit that saves us, and it's a work of the Spirit that grows us after we're saved. You know, once you're saved, you live the Christian life the same way you started it, by total faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes people get frustrated. "I can't live the Christian life!" We're going to talk about that on Sunday mornings, starting at the end of this month. Because I hear that a lot. "Pastor, I got saved and I just can't live the Christian life." And what's the answer to that? Well, the answer to that is quit trying and put your faith in Christ. Because you live the Christian life the same way you started it. Did you have to do anything to get saved? Yes or no? You don't. No, it's trust. It's faith. That's the way you live day by day. It's not living by a set of rules. It's not living by the rules Pastor Dan says or the church says. It's living by faith. It's a walk with Christ every day. That's what he's trying to get across to these people. And then in verse 4, he says, "Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain?" In other words, man, he said, you got saved and you stood firmly in the grace and the freedom of Christ. You even suffered for the grace and freedom of Christ. You even suffered for your position in Christ. You even suffered for your new faith in Christ. Now you're going to go AWOL? You're going to turn tail and run because of these false teachers? In verse 5, he says, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you." He's referring to himself. He said, "Doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Paul's saying, look, man, when I was among you and I did those miracles, he said, look, those weren't done as a result of keeping the law. Those things were done as a result of simple faith. Verse 6, now he's going to use Abraham, who was the father of the Jews. And the Jews, they took a lot of pride. "We are the descendants of Abraham." Well, verse 6, he's going to use Abraham. And he says, we're going to have a little discussion here of Abraham. Verse 6, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for" what, church? So, you know what he's going to do? He is going to basically take the Jewish legalists that had crept into the church and were trying to bring them under the law. He's going to beat them at their own game. And he is going to take Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, the father of these physical father of these Jewish legalists, he's going to use him as an example to prove his point that it's all by faith and it's not by the works of the law. And he says in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And last week we went to Romans 4, which is a great chapter to read with this chapter. And in Romans 4, we saw Abraham was justified. He was declared righteous. And in Romans 4, it teaches it wasn't through the works of the flesh. It wasn't through the deeds of the law. It wasn't through the sign of circumcision. Abraham was justified. He was declared righteous through faith alone in God's promise. We saw that. Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of, say it with me, faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The true children of Abraham, Paul says, are those who are of faith. Verse 8, let's get into some new ground. Verse 8, and the Scripture, this is a great verse, look at this verse. Man, I enjoyed studying this out. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, by the way, that's us. The heathen, Gentiles, through, how is he going to justify us? Through what? Faith. Through faith. Preached before the gospel. Remember, the word gospel means good news. He preached the good news unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So, what was the good news that Abraham received? He said there in verse 8, that the Scripture preached the gospel unto Abraham. Well, what good news was preached to Abraham? Was it the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Well, of course not. We know that that wasn't what was preached to him. But there was some good news preached to Abraham. What was the good news? Well, the verse tells you. Look at it. Look at the end of verse 8, saying, here's the good news, in thee, in Abraham, shall all nations be blessed. So in order for that to happen, it would require that Abraham and Sarah have a son. Exactly, that's in your handout. It would require that they have a son. Well, wait a minute. They were never able to have kids. And now they were old. They were well stricken in years. So the good news to Abraham was what? It's centered around a promised son, Jesus Christ. Now, you know, Larry, Melissa, I know you guys haven't hid this, that you had tried for years to have children and couldn't have children. You were getting ready to try to adopt, already there, and all of a sudden, woo, here comes Abigail, right? Here comes Abigail. You know what? You guys kind of looked at that as a miracle, didn't you? But imagine if you were 75 years old and Abigail came along. That would really be a miracle. Imagine, huh? Here's Abraham and Sarah, old, well stricken in years, and the gospel, the good news comes to him. You're going to have a son, big boy. And the promise, the good news, centered around a son. Of course, we know that son was Isaac. God kept his promise. You know, here's what I want you to see. God asked Abraham to believe in a long-promised, long-awaited, long-delayed, miraculously born, supernaturally given son. God asked Abraham to believe the humanly impossible, the naturally unreasonable, and the miraculously supernatural. And in your handout, it says, Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God concerning the promised son, this promised son. And God, in turn, when Abraham believed that promise, God imputed righteousness, the Bible says, to him. Abraham was saved by placing his faith and his trust in God's word, in God's promise. And in your handout, it says the Scripture foresaw the day when God would offer justification to every individual in every heathen nation through faith alone. You see that in your handout? See that? that he was going to offer justification to every individual in every heathen nation through faith alone. Through faith alone. Just like Abraham, their faith, those of us, heathen, okay, Gentile nations, our faith would center, in your handout, our faith, just like Abraham, would center around a son. Isn't that neat? A long-promised son, Jesus Christ. Now, am I doing the Scripture an injustice tonight by making this application? That Abraham believed God concerning a son, Isaac, and now he's an example. We believe God concerning his son, Jesus Christ. Am I making an unfair application here? Not at all, because the Bible does the same thing. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. Keep your bookmarker right here. And I've got it in your handout, I believe, there. Romans 4. I mean, I don't have it typed out. I just have the reference in your notes so that you can always have that. Romans 4. And notice how the Scripture makes this application. Okay? Look at it with me. Romans 4, 18. Notice the Bible, the who there is Abraham. Abraham, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. This is that good news, that gospel. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. In other words, dead meaning he couldn't have children. Okay? And then it says, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for what? Righteousness. Now look at the application Paul makes, verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for who? For us also. For us also, to whom it shall be imputed, that same righteousness, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So do you see the application? Can you come help me, Brother Larry, real quick? Brother Larry, you're Abraham, and the gospel comes to you, okay? And God says to you, I want you to look up at the stars of heaven. And you look up, okay? And God says, can you number those stars? No. Of course, science has caught up with the Bible now, and science now tells us there's no way to number the stars. They go on and on and on beyond what mankind can probe. But beyond what we can probe, they just keep going. And we know there's trillions. And so he says, you see that? You can't number them, can you? Abraham, I'm going to make your seed as the stars of heaven. I'm going to give you such a seed, it'll be beyond number. Do you believe me, Abraham?
Yes.
And the Bible says, Abraham, believe God. The good news, the gospel came to him, in thy seed, I'm going to bless all nations. Abraham believed that promise. He believed that gospel. He believed that good news. And immediately, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Paul says, it wasn't written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. Now we've just zipped forward thousands of years. He just fast-forwarded thousands of years ahead of time to the present. And he says it wasn't written for his sake alone that righteousness was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom that same righteousness that he got, it'll be imputed to us if we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that precious? So he believed God's promise concerning a son. We believe God's promise concerning a son, Jesus Christ. And that righteousness is imputed to us. Does it have anything to do with our works, yes or no? That's what he's saying. It had nothing to do with Abraham's works. He looked up, he believed the promise, and righteousness was given to him. It was all by faith alone that he got righteousness. And he's saying, why? The scripture foresaw the day. It didn't foretell it. There's a difference in the two words. It didn't say the scripture foretold, because we know that this dispensation of grace in which he's saving heathen people through faith alone in Christ, we know that this dispensation of grace that we live in today, it was hid in God from the foundation of the world. It was kept secret since the world began, Ephesians 3, Colossians 1. The scripture foresaw, the scripture knew what was coming. That one day there would be a dispensation of grace in which God would save heathen people in every nation by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Thanks, Brother Larry. In verse 9, if you go back to Galatians, and keep your bookmarker in Romans, by the way. We're going to go right back there. So if you'll keep your bookmarker in Romans, just trade places there, and go back to Galatians 3. Galatians 3, let's move on to verse 9. He says there, so then, now look at the application, okay? He just talked about Abraham and the promise, and the gospel given to Abraham. Now verse 9, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. In your handout, it says Abraham is the example of saving faith. He was a type or picture of believers today. So Abraham placed his faith in God's promise concerning a promised son, Isaac. Isaac, by the way, was a type or a picture of Jesus Christ. As a result, which I don't have time to get into all that. I wish I did. As a result of Abraham's faith, righteousness was imputed to him. Now, when a person today places their faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, they too are blessed as Abraham was blessed. How? Righteousness is imputed unto them by faith alone. Hey, go backwards just a couple of pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The book right before Galatians is 2 Corinthians. Go over there to chapter 5. Great cross-reference here. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5. And look at the imputed righteousness that's promised here. Verse 21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. He was made sin for us on the cross. Who knew no sin? Christ was sinless. He kept the law. That we might be made, and I love this, that we might be made the what? Righteousness of God in him, in Christ. There's the promise. Go back to Galatians 3. And that's why verse 9 says that they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Verses 10 through 12, he's going to get down to the nitty-gritty. And Paul is going to contrast faith and the law. You with me? Say amen. Amen. Thank you. Faith and the law. He's going to contrast them. Look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law... Talk to me here. They are under the what?
Curse.
Curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, to do them, to do them, to do them. Emphasis, doing. Verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by what?
Faith.
Faith. Verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them, doeth them, doeth them, doeth them. Emphasis, doing. The man that doeth them shall live in them. So Paul now is going to contrast faith versus the law. In your handout it says, and this is very clear, those which are of faith are blessed. Those which are of faith are what?
Blessed.
Those which are, and in your handout it says, those which are of the works of the law are what? Cursed. Could it be any clearer? Okay, look at Galatians 3:9. So then they which be of faith are? You guys are with me good, aren't you? They which are, look at it again, verse 9. They which be of faith are blessed. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Paul here is quoting, by the way, in verse 10, he's quoting Deuteronomy 27, 26, which pronounces a curse upon any person who does not continue in all things of the law. I want you to get Romans 7 in hand, okay? Keep your bookmarker here in Galatians 3, because we're gonna stay here and continue studying, but we got to get Romans in hand, okay? Romans 7. Romans 7. This is good. You guys, I appreciate y'all being here tonight. It's such a blessing to have so many people that are hungry for the Word. And these Bible studies are so helpful, and they'll ground you in the truth of God's Word. Romans 7, let me explain something. If I can have your attention, we're going to read in a moment. The law, the Old Testament law that God gave Moses, that revealed the perfect righteousness of a holy God. It was a written expression of God's righteousness. And in Romans 7, notice with me a verse here. Romans 7, verse 12. Wherefore the law is... Now he's going to describe the law. The law is holy, and the commandment... That's another reference to the law. The law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. How many of you would agree with me that God is holy, God is just, and God is good? Amen. Then the law is a reflection of the righteous character of God. Okay? In order... Now stay with me. Stay with me. In order to achieve righteousness through that law, which was an expression of the righteousness of God, in order to achieve righteousness through the law, what would you have to do? You would have to keep the law in totality and continuance your entire lifetime. The law demanded obedience in all things, no exceptions, no ifs, ands, or buts. And that's the idea, if you'll keep your bookmarker here and go back to Galatians 3. We're going to keep flipping back and forth. That's the idea of Galatians 3:12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them. That's the idea there, the man that doeth them. In your handout, it says, life can only come to those who keep the law in perfection. But to offend the law in how many points?
One.
Boom. Write that word in. To offend the law in one point, James 2:10 says, is to offend the righteousness of a holy God. And can anybody tell me what the penalty is? The penalty is what?
Death.
1 John 3:4, for sin is the transgression of the law. So if I transgress God's law that's holy, just, and good, if I transgress it, then I have sinned. Sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3:4. Now, in Romans 6, if you'll turn back there, Romans, keep your bookmarker here now, or keep your finger, just we're going to go back and forth. Romans 6, it tells you the penalty of breaking the law. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. Say that with me. For the wages of sin is death. What's the penalty for offending God's law?
Death.
Death. You say, Pastor Dan, isn't that tough? I mean, isn't that a little tough, and isn't that a little unreasonable? That one point, if I break the law in one point, I'm guilty? Not really. Because think of it in this way. How many links must you break in a chain? How many links must you break in a chain to break the chain? How many?
One.
Just one. How many people do I have to kill to be a murderer?
One.
Just one. How many lies do I have to tell to be a liar?
One.
Just one. How many sins do I have to commit to be a sinner?
One.
Just one. In Romans 7:10, Romans 7, if you'll turn there, verse 10, this is why Paul said, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Death. Verse 11, Romans 7:11. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. What does Paul mean? In your handout, it says, nobody can look the law in the eye and claim perfection. Therefore, it is evident that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. The law, it says in your handout, the law reveals our guilt and it leaves us in debt to a holy God. Will you look at Romans chapter 3, please? Turn over there. Romans chapter 3. I really want you to see it. Romans 3. Romans, I'll give you a second to get there. Romans 3. Okay. Look at verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become what?
Guilty.
May become guilty before God. May become guilty before God. You say, Pastor Dan, then how can anyone be saved? if nobody can look at the law and claim perfection, and according to the Bible, there'd have to be a continual doing of the law to save yourself, and nobody's ever done it, then how can anyone be saved? Go back to Galatians 3, and I'll show you. Galatians 3:11. He says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. But here's the key. The just shall live by what?
Faith.
By faith. How do I gain life? It's by faith. You see, righteousness and life are possible, church, but not through the doing of the law. By the way, that's an Old Testament quote from Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. He's quoting the Old Testament again. Listen, righteousness and life are possible, but not through the doing of the law. Then how? By believing God. Remember the illustration of Abraham? Look at Galatians again, chapter 3, verse 6. Go back to verse 6. Here it is. We can be saved. We can be declared righteous, but not through doing the law. Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. In your handout, I want you to look at it with me. It's on the second, on the back of your handout, or second page. I don't know how it is, second page. And I want you to do this with me. I want you to take your pen, and I want you to underline the word believed. Abraham believed God. You see that statement? I want you to underline the word believed. He believed, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Verse 6. But not only that, take your pen, underline this. They which are of, underline the word faith. Okay? They which are of faith are the children of Abraham. That's in verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, he's looking at it with me, verse 7, the same are the children of Abraham. Look at verse 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through what? Faith. In your handout, God justifies the heathen through faith. Underline the word faith again, please. So you've underlined the word believed. You've underlined the word faith. Now you've underlined the word faith again. Now look at verse 9. Look at verse 9 in the Bible. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Look in your handout. They which are of faith, underline the word faith again. They which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Aha, so I can have righteousness in life. But it comes not by doing, it comes by faith. Many people are steeped in a religion of doing. The Bible says they're under a curse. Maybe you know people in your family. They think they're going to go to heaven because of what they do. Can you do this with me? The last passage we're going to look up tonight is in Matthew 7. I want you to go ahead, and you don't even need to keep your finger in Galatians because we're done after this. Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to finish early tonight because we've got some things that we've got to do here at the end of the service. Matthew 7. Many people are steeped in a religion of doing. Some of you out here may know family, coworkers, loved ones, neighbors. They think they're going to go to heaven because of what they do. Matthew 7 gives us a vivid and frightening description of Judgment Day. Look at it with me, verse 21. This is great to use in witnessing. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord," Jesus said, "shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never what? Never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You know what the Bible's saying? You cannot approach a holy God through the fig leaves of your own good works. And some of you understand what I mean by the analogy of fig leaves, because when Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to cover their sin by man-made fig leaves. And what did God do? God went and, I mean, we are to assume that he slew an animal, because that's the only way to get skins of an animal is to slay an animal. God slew an animal, took that skin, and he covered them. Teaching what? Right from the beginning, God was teaching that there must be a sacrifice for sin. The innocent dying for the guilty. The just for the unjust. And there must be an acceptance of that by simple faith. Adam and Eve simply had to, by faith, receive those coats of skins. There must be an acceptance of that sacrifice by faith. You see, the people who think that, well, I'm a good person. Pastor Larry talked about this, if you were here, when he was teaching on witnessing and using the law to show people their sin. But here's the thing. People that think that they're going to go to heaven because of good things they've done, you know what the bottom line is? No matter how many good deeds you've done, how many sins does it take to be a sinner?
One.
How many have sinned and violated God's holy law? Everybody. So that means you, on Judgment Day, will still be found a sinner who has broken God's moral law. And those who think they're going to get to heaven because of what they've done and all the deeds they've done, they are going to be found on Judgment Day in their sins. They are going to be found in their sins. If they do not place their faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's trying to get across. Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you would not obey the truth and believe the lies of these people? They think it's all about what you're doing. That's not what I taught you. It's of faith. And this whole book is written to show us that it's of faith. And he uses Abraham, and then he drives the point home in verses 10 through 12, that those which are of faith are blessed, though those which are of the works of the law are cursed. It's evident. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Next week we'll dive back in. Father, we pray now that you will bless, Lord, the Bible study tonight. And Lord, may you fill us with your Spirit that we may have ears to hear. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. Let's all stand.